Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply. It's better
over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/AcrossAmerica.
Up to four lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device credit service ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
I met a guy recently who told me that he spends roughly $250,000 a month. I talked to another person recently who made $50 million at the age of 30. What do you do with that money? How do you spend it? How do you not spend it? What do you invest in? If you meet a rich person, these are questions everyone wants to know, but you're too embarrassed to ask. That's the whole premise of MoneyWise. We talk to real people who have made a significant amount of money, and we ask them all about their finances. My name's Sam Parr, and the podcast is called MoneyWise. That's one word, MoneyWise. You can find MoneyWise wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome on in. It is the Midday Show, Sports Radio 94 WIP. Hugh Douglas, Joe Giglio, Kyle Quinn behind the glass. And it's that day, our yearly spring goodbye, unfortunately too early, to the Philadelphia 76ers. They go down last night, 118-115. A lot of emotions today for a Sixers season that ends in six games in the Eastern Conference quarterfinals. Good morning, Hugh.
Good morning, Joe. Good morning, Philly. You know, you're not going to make everybody happy. I wouldn't even try.
You know what? I think that's a fair way to lead us in today. It's a good daily, Douglas. And yeah, today's a tough day. It's a date event. It's a day, obviously, to look a little bit forward because there were some good things, especially Tyrese Maxey in the series that we'll feel good about. But it's a day for our emotion. 215-592-9494. Your chance to react to the end of the Sixers. We'll get into a lot here. Coaching decisions last night. We'll spin it forward to the offseason, of course. A lot on Joel Embiid and what happened last night. But bottom line is I'm just disappointed. I'm just disappointed because I thought they could have won that game. I thought they could have won the series if it got back to seven. The Pacers are now in that side of the bracket against the Knicks.
Yeah.
I thought the Sixers could have beat the Pacers. Yeah. I thought this team could have went on a big run. And unfortunately, Hugh, they just couldn't overcome a couple things. One, the Knicks had more athleticism and rebounding the entire series.
That was their bread and butter.
It really was.
That has been the Knicks staple all season long.
Yes.
The fact that they're a really, really good rebounding team. And that's what really killed us. The boards really killed us.
Yeah, and I'm just disappointed they couldn't close again. They couldn't close it. I give the Sixers credit because they did not roll over. I mean, it's 33-11 in the first quarter, and my thought is, oh, my goodness. Are they going to roll over and die the way they did in Boston last Mother's Day? And they didn't. I give them credit for that because they didn't. They fought. The Buddy Hield out of nowhere. Three-point barrage in the first half was awesome. Joel Embiid played well for a lot of this game, and he gave what I was hoping he would give, which is a lot of points and a lot of effort and all that kind of stuff. Maxey didn't have his best game. We'll get to all the ins and outs of it, but Hugh, I just wake up today disappointed. I do think we saw a great playoff series. I mean, they just put the graphic up on ESPN on TV in front of us. The score of the series, you had all the games up, was 650-649. Like, this was as close for six games as you could have.
Yeah.
So we got to watch a great series. We really did. And the Sixers gave great effort for almost all of it. I'm just disappointed they weren't good enough here, Hugh. That's my feeling this morning. I'm disappointed that they couldn't do this.
Yeah. I'm a little bit optimistic. But it's one caveat with my optimism. Because I understand that there are some long-suffering Sixer fans out there. So even though I am optimistic, what I am not going to do today is come on here and, you know, exude my optimism because there's some people out there that are real miserable. Joe, I was on my way to work this morning. And you know, like, for me, I'm not – my facial expressions, I've been told, are not the friendliest. You know, it always, like, what they call – I have RBF, and a lot of times, you know, it's like people say I look unapproachable. I mean, I am, but you know how that goes. But I remember, like, this morning getting on the elevator. That's all anybody really wanted. We wanted to commiserate. People wanted to commiserate this morning. because we all stayed up and watched that game last night. And I feel like the city has mixed emotions about what they saw. I think that there are a lot of people out there that felt like you do, or like some do, that the effort was valiant. The effort was valiant. But there's a lot of people out there that I also feel like they're just tired of the same old, same old.
Mm-hmm.
Because they've been dealing with this process thing for 11 seasons, and the outcome has been the same. So, like I said, I'm not about to sit here and beat anybody over the head with my optimism, because I don't think that's the right thing to do. But I am pretty optimistic about what I saw last night.
Well, I think here's the thing that we all could take away. And maybe we've created a low bar. This was not the worst one, or one of the worst ones we've seen in recent years when they go out. I mean, last year on Mother's Day in Boston was a pathetic effort. It was pathetic. They weren't pathetic last night. They just lost. They just lost to a team that was back and forth the entire time. Game 6, third quarter, fourth quarter against Miami 2 years ago, pretty pathetic. Game 7, Father's Day, Ben Simmons not dunking, a million turnovers from Embiid in 2021, pretty pathetic to lose to the Hawks at home in a Game 7. I don't feel that it was pathetic what I saw last night. I feel like they just lost to a team that was slightly better, finished better, has a better closer at the end of the game.
Got off to a hell. Like, 22 points down, Joe. I'm not going to lie.
I thought it was done.
I was like, ugh.
I thought they were going to get a boat race.
Like I was sitting there, and I'm like, well, we've been, like, these games kind of start this way, but not like this.
22 is a lot.
Yeah, that's a lot. That's a lot. So I was a little nervous, but they fall back. They definitely fall back.
Yeah, the silver lining of the 22-point deficit was it was the first quarter, right? It's like, man, there's a lot of basketball to be played. Now, did I think they'd be leading at the half? Did I think Buddy Hield would come in and have an all-time heater? I did not. But ultimately, sometimes with a season, you know, it ends the way, you know, like kind of what you are comes back at the end. And what the Sixers are is they struggle to close games. They've always struggled to close games in the postseason. They weren't a good enough rebounding team. And they have some players in this team, or at least one, that's a total and complete stiff. And when you have a total and complete stiff on the court, it's tough to win in the NBA postseason. Kyle, how you feeling? And then we'll see what Embiid had to say. What are you feeling this morning as the Sixers get eliminated in round one?
You're probably going to think this is not Kyle or somebody else. I feel like strangely fine today. Like, I'm okay. Maybe I'm just numb or something, but this is probably the best that I have ever felt following a Sixers playoff loss. Best I've ever felt about the team, the direction that they're going, Joel Embiid, all of that stuff. Like, they showed up last night. I heard Jack on the afternoons yesterday saying, "Win doesn't matter tonight, just show up." And I'm like, that's moronic. But after the game was over, I was like, you know what? Like, I feel okay. I'm proud of this team today. I am. I know that sounds really weird because they just lost in the first round in 6 to the Knicks, who I think everyone would agree is probably not as good of a team as the Sixers are. I think my expectations went in just a little bit too high, and I adjusted during the series, and I feel all right now. I just do. Like, Embiid played a good game. He showed up in an elimination game. The Sixers were down like 22 points in the first quarter, and they made it a game until the very end. Like, that was one of the better Sixers performances in the playoffs with, like, under this regime that I've seen. So I'm, like, strangely not totally pissed off today.
Yeah, I think part of your take is fair and makes sense. Part of it is just we compare it to other ones, right? Like, you compare it to Boston in Game 7 last year, you feel great. Because that one, you felt like you wanted to roll over and vomit. You compare it to the Game 7 against the Hawks in 2021 where Ben wouldn't dunk. And last night felt like, you know, it felt great compared to that because that was awful. Last night wasn't awful. It's just disappointing that they couldn't force a Game 7 when they had an opportunity. And let's not forget, I know, Hugh, you mentioned they were down 22, and that's a valiant effort to come back. But they then were up 10, right? Like, they flipped this thing around to where they were up 10 in the second half. 215-592-9494. Joel Embiid last night talking about the game, the series, and the future here in Philadelphia.
I mean, it sucks to lose. The goal is to win a championship. You know, anytime that don't happen, that's all I care about. I don't care, you know, if I got to the second round. You know, that does not mean anything to me. We just didn't accomplish what we wanted to.
All right, let me just throw this out there about Embiid. And I'll say it this way. He played well last night. He showed up. He did not. He wasn't by any means anything but really good last night. He was. But I keep coming back to this, and I don't even know if this is a Joel Embiid problem, if it's a Sixers problem, if it's a combination of the two. It's striking to me that in the NBA playoffs, the games are always seemingly decided close ones in the last 5 minutes. And the last 5 minutes of games, Joel Embiid it's like he's not there as much as he is in the beginning of the game. Is it fatigue? Is it because the reality of him being a center? I don't know. All I know is Brunson closed that game last night. There's yeah, 5 minutes to go, and the game is right there. And Brunson's taking shot after shot and creating shot after shot. And Embiid's playing more hot potato with the basketball. And that's just the reality.
It's kind of indecisive.
Yeah. And last year it was Tatum who outplayed him in a game seven, who outplayed him down the stretch. 3 years ago, it was Jimmy Butler. I keep coming back to this, that if he's not more dominant at the end, it's hard to actually win. Like, I'm not blaming him today. He played well.
No, he played extremely well.
He gave what I asked yesterday.
He
provided a lot.
Yes, he did.
It's just in the NBA, if your best player isn't closing the game with 4 minutes to go, someone else has to. And it's like, who's doing it? And Maxi last night wasn't his best.
You know what I thought? Because who is the ref you said that usually has the extender? Scott Foster. It felt to me down the stretch that Joel Embiid was trying to get more to the charity stripe as opposed to just taking over. And get it. I'm not blaming him because we understand, that he was dealing with a whole lot, the knee and everything. And, you know, the last time we saw him jump and jump with authority, he hurt himself.
Yep.
But what bothered me towards the end, again, not mad at him, but I was just like, get up, big fella. He was on the ground a lot in that fourth quarter. Like, when he was trying to drive to the basket, like, in the third quarter when he was backing down, what's his name, the big center?
Hartenstein.
I was about to say something else. But, yeah, when he was backing him down, that was to me, was what the big fella needed to do. Because I tweeted out to you, I was like, be 7-2. And he was being 7-2 in that moment. But as the game started, the time started to wind down, what I saw was Joel Embiid trying to get to the charity stripe. He was trying to get to the charity stripe, and he would fall on the ground. And he was trying to get calls. It wasn't happening. That's when you have to take over the game.
Yeah, and in the first three quarters, that was maybe the most I've ever seen him play in the paint in the playoffs. They couldn't stop him. I mean, Hartenstein is a decent player, and he obviously had a nice series here, but he's no match. Like, when Embiid wanted to put his body into him and get to the basket, it was just basket after basket after basket. Embiid was phenomenal early on. But unfortunately, in the fourth quarter, he didn't provide enough. I mean, these games come down to this in the fourth quarter of the NBA playoffs. Close games. Whose best player is going to close the game better? And Brunson did it. I mean, Brunson walked away the bigger star in the series.
He made me kind of mad with those fouls that he was getting.
He's crafty.
Yeah. I mean, that was some old Trae Young stuff, man. But, I mean, I know that's a part of the game.
He does that thing where he, like,
he stops and pops.
Yeah.
It bothered me a little bit, but I get it.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, he got to the line. He made the shot. But it's like, I mean, it was just crafty. I mean, it was it was last night was their night.
It was, and they were better. And it was probably apropos that the dagger was the Josh Hart three, because that was kind of the beginning of the series.
That hurt.
Oh,
that
yeah. Hurt. Well, especially because they basically left him open again, right?
Yeah.
Like, it kind of repeated the beginning of the series where he has it, and then they're like, yeah, I'd shoot it. And then he nailed it. 215, 592, 94-94. Disappointed. Proud, frustrated. Where are you? Give us your emotion today as we discuss this Sixers team, the game, and the end of the season here. Chuck in Mount Airy starts us off on the Midday Show. Hey, Chuck.
Yo, Joe Giglio. What's the dealio?
How we doing, Chuck?
Hey, what's up, you?
What's up, man?
I'm just disappointed, man. Again, another loss. You know, we always get the short end of the stick. It was a great series. But, man, I don't even know where to go from here, man. The team is... You know, Joel Embiid, he showed up, yeah, but he didn't show up in the fourth quarter again. I mean, I commend him for playing through this injury, but it's just still, it's the same old thing, man. And I'm tired as a fan of the 76ers, tired of being Joel Embiid dependent. You know what I mean? And I say that to say I'm tired of going in every season dependent on everything going through him. We're not going to win a championship. We're not going to get off the second round with him being our best player. I'm convinced of that. I am. I'm convinced of that. And people say, oh, well, he played so great. You know, I don't want to trade him. I want to go ahead and go into next season. Yeah, he played great. Yeah, so we can deflect the blame somewhere else. But the fact of the matter is, he's still a loser. Okay? That's the harsh reality. You know, and it's been several years of this. No matter if it's Trae Young, no matter if it's Brunson, no matter if it's Jason Tatum, no matter if it's Jaylen Brown, no matter whoever we play, he's the losing superstar. The MVP of this league, somebody who'll never get to the conference championship. And this is who we want to hitch our wagon to again. Listen, the fact of the matter is this. we're not going to win a championship unless we go back into the draft and get one of those young studs like Anthony Edwards or Shai Gilgeous-Alexander. They're in the draft. We have to take a risk, and we have to do it. Somebody has to make the tough decision, which I know is not going to happen because nobody has the fortitude to do it here in this organization and say, you know what, we got to move on. You know, but it's going to come a time where he's not going to be pitting seats, no, butts in seats anymore. And these Sixers fans showed you that, you know, in game 3 and 4, that this whole story is getting old. You know what I mean? It's going to come a time when you're going to have to cut bait with Joel Embiid because he's not a winner. He's not a winner. He's not a terrific player. I give him that. He got his numbers. He got his 38 points, you know, the MVP shallow numbers that he normally gets, but it still ended up, Joe, in a loss, in an L, a loss in a series that was a great series, one of the best series I've ever seen as an NBA watcher. But it's still a loss, and we come up with the short end of the stick. It's because we got the star that's not really the best superstar of when it comes crunch time, and I'm sick of it.
Well, Chuck, it's Groundhog Day. I mean, I feel you, man. It's Groundhog Day. Chuck, we appreciate the phone call and your emotion today. It does. I mean, look, I'm not mad at Joel. I don't think he didn't show up last night. He did. I'm now moving to the point where it's the reality of the player more than it is him. Like, it's just like, all right, he's really, really good. He's great at times. He's amazing at times, but...
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
I met a guy recently who told me that he spends roughly $250,000 a month. I talked to another person recently who made $50 million at the age of 30. What do you do with that money? How do you spend it? How do you not spend it? What do you invest in? If you meet a rich person, these are questions everyone wants to know, but you're too embarrassed to ask. That's the whole premise of MoneyWise. We talk to real people who have made a significant amount of money, and we ask them all about their finances. My name's Sam Parr, and the podcast is called MoneyWise. That's one word, MoneyWise. You can find MoneyWise wherever you get your podcasts.
It's so many years where I go into the series and I'm told the Sixers have the best player in the series. I was told that last year against Boston. Well, best player is Joel Embiid. He's the MVP. I was told it against Miami 2 years ago. Well, Butler's good, but Joel's the best player in the series. I was told in this series. Well, Brunson's nice, but Joel's the best player in the series. And those guys closed the games in the fourth quarter. And Joel, because he's gassed or hurt or whatever, he can't. Again, I'm not mad at Joel today. I think he showed up. I don't think it was his fault they lost last night. But it comes back to the reality of this team. I think they have a problem. It's tough. You can't move. It's very hard to move off him, as Chuck was saying. And he's a great player, but it's hard to win a championship this way, obviously, when he's the one that's not as great as you need him to be late in the game. Let's go to Jeff in Wilmington. What's up, Jeff?
Yo, what's up, guys?
Hey, Jeff.
What's going on, Jeff?
I kind of agree with Chuck, except I don't want to go to the Joel's a loser part. But, you know, I don't understand why, first of all, Buddy Hield showed up in the first half.
Man, did he. Jeff, that was the most out of nowhere 17 points I've ever seen.
And then he was on the bench in the third quarter when you really had a chance to – they caught up to them, and then they had a chance to start separating themselves. And I understand that move. Look, this team, this current regime of the Sixers is very similar. You guys are not – probably don't remember, but when the 76ers leading up to the year that they won in 83 when they won the championship. You know, from like 1976 – through those next 6 or 7 years, it was, we owe you one, we owe you one. They were close. And they didn't get over the top until they brought in Moses Malone. And the Sixers have two superstar players on their team. They don't have a solid third man that can take over a game if needed. And that's what's been holding them back. They've got a bunch of guys that might show up every now and then, but there's not anybody can. There's not a third consistent player. And I don't know how they're going to get that player.
Well, I think their best way, I know Chuck was talking about the draft or trading. Their best way, I mean, they have, Jeff, they're going to have a ton of cap room, more than they've had since the
Tobias
summer.
Is out.
Yeah, Tobias. Right? This is the most they've had since the summer that they chose Tobias over Jimmy. Like, this is their chance to go and redo it and get. Yeah. Now it's going to be a matter of which one they want, Paul George, LeBron James. I mean, there's big names out there to try to fix this.
And I feel a little bit like Kyle. Like, I don't feel bad. I feel disappointed that they didn't advance. But there is something there. They just need that one extra piece. And, that's where I stand with them.
Yeah.
They got me interested in basketball again.
They roped us all back in it. Jeff, we preached the phone call. I mean, we could be real about the Sixers season. It started off with the trade of Harden, right? And we were like, all right, Harden's out. We hate Harden.
Then
great.
Joel got hurt.
But Joel got hurt. It was kind of a weird regular season where it didn't feel like people were super into the Sixers all regular season. But then all of a sudden, Joel comes back. And it's like, wait a minute. Something cool might happen here. And then I think it being the Knicks in the first round got everyone into this thing because it's such a rival and all that. And the reality is it got really exciting fast, and then it got disappointing really quickly.
Yeah, and you give a shout-out to the all the people that got together and bought the 2,000 tickets.
Yes.
And gave it to the first responders and allowed
it did make a difference.
Yeah,
it wasn't
did.
Quite as Knicks heavy last night.
Yeah, it was. And to get people excited about it, it's just tough it ended the way that it did. It really, really is, man. But I'm optimistic. Like you pointed out, Maxey didn't have the night that we needed him to have. Joel Embiid did. But there's something to be said about waning down the stretch.
Yes.
And that's exactly what happened. It's unfortunate that it's happened that way again so many times. But I think there's something there to build off of. And I think Joel Embiid is part of it. I know a lot of people probably don't want to hear that this morning, but it's the truth. He might not be the tip of the spear when it comes to that, but I think he is a part of what this Sixers team can be.
Well, I'm almost positive he will be a part of it, whether or not people want him to. I'm almost positive they're going to try to add a third star, and Joel's going to be one of the stars. Hey, I'm at the point now, and you might think I'm crazy when I say this, where he's obviously Joel's a great player, but I do wonder if the path to winning with him is more to make him our version of Chris Bosh or our version of Anthony Davis, to where he could be part of it, but he's, like you said, he's not the tip of the spear in the fourth quarter of playoff games, that they got to get someone else. And maybe Maxey continues to evolve, and 2 years from now, a year from now, he's a no-doubt closer every single playoff game. Last night, obviously, he struggled. He wasn't his best. Maybe they have to go get a LeBron. I mean, I know some people hate that, but this what they're doing now, it just feels like they're stuck on this wheel. Like, they can't get off of it.
Hamster wheel.
It's a hamster wheel. And this one felt a little different, right? It's not as disappointing as others. It's
because they fought. Yeah. They fought hard, man. They fought hard.
But the reality is the finish is the same. I mean, they're not close.
That's the thing that I understand. And I know that for a lot of Sixers fans, diehard Sixers fans, Sixers that were part of from the beginning of trust the process, for them, regardless of how hard they fought, the outcome is the same, and they're tired of it.
Yeah.
We get that.
Well, it's frustrating. 215-592-9494. We'll get more into Embiid's performance last night. An interesting comment by Charles Barkley postgame, and maybe one of the more accountable quotes we've ever heard from Embiid following a loss like this. That's next. Your reaction to the Sixers going down in six to the Knicks. 215-592-9494 for Midday Show, Sports Radio 94 WIP. It's better
over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at tmobile.com/across America.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allowed 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
I met a guy recently who told me that he spends roughly $250,000 a month. I talked to another person recently who made $50 million at the age of 30. What do you do with that money? How do you spend it? How do you not spend it? What do you invest in? If you meet a rich person, these are questions everyone wants to know, but you're too embarrassed to ask. That's the whole premise of MoneyWise. We talk to real people who have made a significant amount of money, and we ask them all about their finances. My name's Sam Parr, and the podcast is called MoneyWise. That's one word, MoneyWise. You can find MoneyWise wherever you get your podcasts.